Next up, we've got Brian Gray with End of the World.
The end is nigh. The earth is dying as we sing. Angels crying to their kingdom in the sky. The end is nigh.
What a perfect day, the kind that can wash away apathy and turn the double play of being seen and
If I'm not mistaken, Brian is teaming up with some of his family members to bring the characters of the Sandwich Board Man, Amanda, Elizabeth, Daniel, and Globron to the stage. I like how they each sing their bits, and they, you know, they come together very nicely with overlapping parts at the end. The Sandwich Board Man bookends the song. It's very, very musical theater and very well done. You can almost just copy and paste that line from my previous review. Brian's obviously very good at making something sound theatrical, and he does a good job with this as well. Normally, I'm not a big fan of spoken word bits, but when they're funny, they work for me. That whole thing about Globron complaining about how the people on the ship are all jerks very much appealed to me. I thought that was really great.
But what does he have against Glohop Rock, really?
I don't know. Glohop Rock is awesome.
Yeah.
I know that there's some tuning artifacts and glitches which will annoy the crap out of Ryan, but I was able to look past those. The thing that bugged me a little bit, because, you know, there's very little that I can complain about this song. I feel like the harmony on 11T11 and something light years was just oddly dissonant. Like, it didn't seem like it was like a third above or, a third below or something. It felt like it was a weirdly dissonant interval, and maybe that was the plan. But it's a repeated motif, and, you know, you hear it in a number of different spots, like when it's in Globron's section and when it's also at the end when all of the parts overlap. So, yeah, my ears just did a weird double take whenever I heard it, and I thought, is that right? I almost want to just solo that section and hear if it's actually dissonant or maybe just my ears are going a little bit crazy. But overall, this is, you know, very impressive for all the theatrics and the storytelling. I think it almost justifies its 5-minute length, and it's a fun listen, and Brian is very good at what he does here.
Absolutely. Having said that, you kind of hinted to this before. Okay, Brian, there is no way that you don't hear that tuning artifact just before the 16-second mark, the in the second "the end is nigh" from the Sandwich Board Man. I can't imagine how that got past quality control.
Eliminated.
Disqualified. Some of the sections don't meld very well together. Like Sandwich Board Man doesn't meld great with anything, but I'm very much buying it anyway as sort of a dramatic open and then sort of an end tag for what is likely the first number of this stage musical. The switch from the Daniel section to the Globron section has no transition. It doesn't meld at all, which is weird because the switch from the Globron section to the combined part, which also reincorporates Daniel's section that has another tempo change, is done very well and very smoothly, and I buy that. So I was kind of like wondering, well, he did it so well there. Why couldn't he just do sort of more or less the opposite in the beginning? Anyhow. Peon's log is kind of funny, but you could probably use some tweaks prior to dress rehearsal. It's a little long, I think. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I hope I get to hear some Glohop Rock sometime in the near future. So those were my minor criticisms to this submission, which is excellent and brilliant and so well performed and so well produced. The song is delightful. The Amanda and Daniel sections are particularly strong, and I wonder if that guy is going to get that girl before they both get dissolved or driven underground. Anyway, I'm definitely going to rank this song quite high, but tuning artifacts, come on.
It's a deal breaker right there.
Yeah. Come on, this is a rookie nonsense.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if the part where I was like complaining about musical theater is in one of the parts you're going to snip out of the podcast later, but you know, this is something where it is really well done. And I think if I were actually in a theater, you know, watching a musical that incorporated this whole thing into a scene, like I'd be into it. You know, I'd be like having a good time and enjoying it. As a song that I would just kind of listen to, like I really have trouble getting into it. It's just my genre bias. I don't think there's anything that was sort of, you know, done poorly or, you know, out of, I don't know. It's just something that I really have trouble liking as, you know, songs to listen to and not like an entire theater experience.
It requires a bit of investment. It requires a bit of buying into the whole scenario.
Yeah. And it's like very clearly like a setup, you know, it's not an entire act in and of itself, right? It's very clearly just like, oh, we're going to set this up and then some more stuff is going to happen right after this. But I don't know. It feels a little incomplete story-wise, maybe. To me, I found the cray-cray line very annoying also. I absolutely love the overlapping vocals thing at the end. That is like the one, you know, musical theater thing that I have a huge, huge soft spot for. I love it when there's, you know, the thing where it's like everybody's lines come in at the end and they're all singing over each other. And I thought the performances were all really, really good and like wonderful vocals. But, you know, just in terms of my personal taste, I had trouble getting into this one.